Good afternoon and welcome to Aramis Communications Internet Radio. This is Martha Ann Zerba,
Winnie Thompson,
Coralinda Tagle,
and Emily Osmond.
From the Legion of Mary in Wilmington, Delaware, Curia, United States of America. Once again, here we are broadcasting from St. Mary's of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hockessin, Delaware. Today, the 21st of February, 2020, we'll be speaking about the true value of suffering from the apostleship of prayer. But as usual, before we proceed on this hour of grace where mercy triumphed over justice, let us immerse ourselves completely in the Lord's mercy, adoring, glorifying, invoking its omnipotence for the whole world and particularly for poor sinners, by praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. A fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Now we're going to speak about the true value of suffering. Sooner or later, suffering comes to us all. We can suffer in body or in mind. And it really doesn't hurt. The devastation, and it really does hurt. The devastation can be terrible. Yet, even our worst suffering can be of great value, not just to us, but to our loved ones, too. It starts with our holding firmly to God's promise that all things work for the good of those who love God, from Romans 8. Christians believe God uses suffering to draw us closer to himself. God knows that we will never be truly happy until we rest in him, as St. Augustine said, because he loves us. God became human in Jesus Christ, even subjecting himself to human suffering and death. By suffering, Jesus identified himself with all who suffer. We, in turn, may identify with him in our suffering, uniting ourselves to his loving purposes. Speaking to hospitalized people in 2007, Pope Benedict XVI put it this way: in trials and sickness, God mysteriously visits us, and if we abandon ourselves to his will, we can experience the power of his love. Now, Winnie, I wonder, how can suffering be good for us?
Suffering's essential to the gospel. In his preaching, Jesus said, "Take up your cross daily, deny yourself, and follow me." Then he himself suffered and died. By his suffering and death, he reconciled sinners to God. He showed the way by his own example. So we follow him, believing that our suffering too is as an important part of our journey to eternal life with God. We rely on the extraordinary promise of the gospel that we who suffer now will one day experience resurrection from the dead. The God who created us loves us and invites us to live with him forever. While we are here on earth, our suffering lets us share his work. We follow Jesus, confident that our suffering has power to give life to others. Whenever we suffer, we seek, as Jesus did, to accept the will of God, trust in his love, and offer ourselves for the good of others. In his second encyclical, Pope Benedict explains, "It is not by sidestepping or fleeing from suffering that we are healed, but rather by our capacity for accepting it, maturing through it, and finding meaning through union with Christ, who suffered with infinite love." What do you think, Corlin, about suffering? Is it good for others?
It's a beautiful and amazing that our suffering can produce good for many. The beloved John Paul II ended his letter on Christian suffering by imploring those of us who suffer to become a source of strength for the church and humanity. He said that the one who suffers brings about, as Christ did, the salvation of all his brothers and sisters. Salvisifi Dolores 27 and 31. We who are weak become a source of salvation and strength for others by turning our suffering into prayer. God wants us to join him in desiring that sinners be converted and enter into the kingdom of heaven. By the way, accepting our suffering has nothing to do with wanting to suffer or punishing ourselves. Considering that we will inevitably suffer in this life, we freely choose to suffer what we must suffer in union with Christ, rather than apart from him. At a time when we feel most helpless, we seize upon our suffering as an opportunity to serve others, just as he did by turning our suffering into prayer. So if you pray, do you actually increase the power of prayer through suffering, Emily?
By God's design, suffering gives our prayers powerful impact. The Apostle Paul wrote to the new Christians in Colossae, quote, "In my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church." From Colossians 1:24. In other words, Paul identified himself physically as well as spiritually with Christ, and he saw his own suffering as a continuation of Jesus' suffering. Paul says he rejoices in his suffering because by them he can serve others as Jesus did. Unfortunately, some of us who suffer cannot even move about or speak. Yet, as long as we are conscious, we can pray. And when we pray, we can offer our pain each day for the good of others. Because we abandon ourselves to God, he puts his love in our hearts so that we can speak, act, and pray as Jesus did. We simply ask God that his loving will be done in ourselves and in all those we carry in our hearts. We ask God to have mercy on us and upon those who are most in need of his mercy. Martha Ann, how do we suffer for the good of others as Jesus and Paul did?
Well, that's a great question, and we can do good for others simply by offering to God our sufferings on their behalf. We may do it many times a day. If we start to worry about someone we love, we can give that person to God. We speak to God in our own words and with deepest sincerity. If someone hurts us, we can offer it up to God for someone who really needs help. If something pleases us, we can offer that up too, perhaps for someone we do not know. Regardless of how we feel, we offer God everything, even our anger, our fears, and our sins. Mysteriously, God transforms them into love, and we know great peace in the midst of our suffering. Reaching out to help others, we are helped ourselves. Winnie, do you think that we're alone in offering up our sufferings?
Certainly not. In the first place, your suffering unites you to Jesus Christ, your Savior, brother, and beloved companion. In Christ, your prayers are joined as well to the prayers of millions of others who suffer. You are never alone when you hold on to God. You can always be sure that every day there are millions of members of the Apostleship of Prayer worldwide offering themselves for the advance of Christ's kingdom. The monthly intentions of the Pope and the intentions of all apostles of prayer. By praying with us, you and your intentions for your loved ones will be mentioned in every prayer by our members every day. What do you think about offering yourself to God, Coraline?
We may offer ourselves to God each day in our own way as often as you wish. St. Paul understood the great power of doing this when he said, "I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship and spiritual worship." You may also wish to offer yourself each day using this traditional prayer.
Okay, let's all pray this one together.
Oh Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day, in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world. I offer them for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, the salvation of souls, the reparation for sins, and the reunion of all Christians. I offer them for the intentions of our bishops and all the apostles of prayer, and in particular for those recommended by our Holy Father this month.
Amen.
Okay, now we're going to talk a little bit about how to make the greatest evil in our lives our greatest happiness. Suffering is a great problem of human life. We all have to suffer. Sometimes small sorrows, sometimes greater ones, fall to our share. We shall now tell everybody that's listening how to avoid much of this suffering, how to lessen all suffering, and how to derive the greatest benefits from every suffering we may have to bear. The reason why suffering appears so hard is that, first of all, we are not taught what suffering is. Secondly, we are not taught how to bear it. And thirdly, we are not taught the priceless value of suffering. That is due to the incomprehensible neglect on the part of our teachers. Yet it is surprising how easily some people bear great sufferings, whereas others get excited even at the smallest trouble. A simple reason is that some have been taught all about suffering and others have not. Well, Winnie, what do you think? Is suffering not evil? Is not as evil as we think it is?
First of all, suffering is not simple at evil. For no one suffered more than the Son of God himself, more than his Blessed Mother, or more than the saints. Every suffering comes from God. It may appear to come to us by chance or accident or from someone else, but in reality, every suffering comes to us from God. Nothing happens to us without his wish or permission. Not even a hair falls from our heads without his consent. Why does God allow us to suffer? Simply because he is asking us to take a little share in his passion, what appears to come by chance or from someone else always comes because God permits it. Every act in our Lord's life was a lesson for us. The greatest act in his life was his passion. This, then, is the greatest lesson for us. It teaches us that we, too, must suffer. God suffered all the dreadful pains of his passion for each one of us. How can we refuse such a little for love of him? Suffering is the gold in our lives. What do you think about that, Coraline?
Actually, that really needs a little thought. If we accept the sufferings he sends us and offer them in union with his sufferings, we receive the greatest reward. 5 minutes suffering borne for the love of Jesus is of greater value to us than years and years of pleasure and joy. The saints tell us that if we patiently bear our sufferings, we merit the crown of martyrdom. Moreover, suffering borne patiently brings out all that is good in us. Those who suffered are usually the most charming people. If we bear these facts clearly in our minds, it certainly becomes much easier to suffer. Do you think suffering gives you strength, Emily?
I think so, definitely. When God gives us any suffering, He always gives us strength to bear it, if we only ask Him. Many, instead of asking for His help, get excited and revolt. It is this excitement and impatience that really make suffering hard to bear. Consider that we are now speaking of all suffering, even the most trifling one. All of us have little troubles, pains, disappointments, every day of our lives. All these, if borne for love of God, obtain for us, as we said, the greatest rewards. Martha Ann, how do we bear all sufferings?
Wow, that's a great, great question. So let's think that even the greater sufferings that may fall to our share from time to time become easy to bear if we accept them with serenity and patience. What really makes suffering difficult to bear is our own impatience and our revolt and our refusal to accept it. This irritation increases our sufferings 100-fold and, besides, robs us of all the merit we could have gained thereby. We see some people through a tempest of suffering with the greatest calm and serenity, whereas others get irritated at the slightest annoyance or disappointment. We can all learn this calm and patience. It is the secret to happiness. An eminent physician in a conference which he gave to distinguished scientists and fellow doctors told them that he owed all his great success in life to the simple fact that he had corrected his habit of impatience and annoyance, which had been destroying all his energy and activity. Everyone, we repeat, without exception, can learn this calm and serenity. Oh my, now we're going to talk about penance. What do you think, Winnie?
We all must do penance for our sins. If we do not, we shall have long years of suffering in awful fires of purgatory. This fire is just the same as the fire of hell. Now, if we offer our sufferings, the very little ones as well as the greater ones, in union with the sufferings of Jesus Christ, we are doing the easiest and best penance we can perform. We may thus deliver ourselves entirely from purgatory, while at the same time gaining the greatest graces and blessings. Let us remember clearly that, first, sufferings come from God for our benefit. Second, when we are in a state of grace, we derive immense merit from every suffering borne patiently, even the little sufferings of our daily lives. Third, God will give us abundant strength to bear our sufferings, if we only ask Him. Fourth, if we bear our sufferings patiently, they lose their sting and bitterness. Five, above all, every suffering is a share in the passion of our Lord. We only have a couple more to go here. Six, by our sufferings, we can free ourselves in great part or entirely from the pains of purgatory. 7, by bearing our sufferings patiently, we win the glorious crown of martyrdom. Of course, we may do all in our power to avoid or lessen our sufferings, but we cannot avoid all suffering. Therefore, it is clearly necessary for us to learn how to bear them. In a word, we must understand clearly that if we remain calm, serene, and patient, suffering losses all its sting, but the moment we get excited, the smallest suffering increases 100-fold. It is just as if we had a sore arm or leg and rubbed it violently. It would become irritated and painful, whereas if we touch it gently, we soothe the irritation. We suffer from ill health, from pains, headaches, rheumatism, arthritis, accidents, and from enemies. We may have financial difficulties. Some suffer for weeks in their homes, some in hospitals or nursing homes. In a word, we are in a veil of tears. Almighty God could have saved us from all suffering, but He did not do so because He knows in His infinite goodness that suffering is good for us. What do you think about prayer, Coraline?
Listening to what you had just said, Winnie, you know, it is really difficult to be patient and calm when sufferings are here. So I guess it's prayer that is the remedy in our hands. We should pray earnestly and constantly, asking God to help us to suffer, to console us, or if it pleases Him, to deliver us from suffering. This is all important. A very eminent doctor, in an able article he recently published in the secular press, says that prayer is the greatest power in the world. He says, "I and my colleagues frequently see that many of our patients whom we have failed to cure or whose pain we have failed to alleviate, have cured themselves by prayer. I speak now not of prayers of holy people, but the prayers of ordinary Christians. We should, above all, pray to Our Lady of Sorrows in all our troubles. We should ask her, by the oceans of sorrow she felt during the Passion of our Lord, to help us. God gave her all the immense graces necessary to make her the perfect Mother of God, but He also gave her all the graces, the tenderness, the love necessary to be the most perfect and loving mother. No mother on earth ever loved a child as our Blessed Lady loves us. Therefore, in all our troubles and sorrows, let us go to our Blessed Lady with abounded confidence. Let us all pray the Memorare.
Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come. Before thee I kneel, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer them. Amen.
And here's some thoughts from St. Thérèse of Lisieux that I'd like to share with you. And I think we could all say this together because it's so many powerful thoughts that she does give us, because, you know, St. Thérèse suffered horribly and has a lot to teach us about suffering. So St. Thérèse says, everything is a grace. Everything is a direct effect of our Father's love.
difficulties, contradictions, humiliations, all the soul's miseries, her burdens, her needs, everything, because through them she learns humility, realizes her weakness. Everything is a grace, because everything is God's gift. Whatever be the character of life or its unexpected events, to the heart that loves, all is well.
That is so beautiful.
Yes.
Really, yeah.
Everything is really a gift.
Yes, it helps us to realize that there's much in life that we don't understand, but when we accept and deal with it, my goodness, it brings us to good places.
And exactly, offer it up to God, mm-hmm. then it becomes lighter.
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
It certainly does. Okay, well, let's continue with the Contain Us, since we are Legion of Mary, and that's our most powerful prayer. So, who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? My soul glorifies the Lord.
My spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
For he looks on his servant in her lowliness. Henceforth, all ages will call me blessed.
The Almighty works marvels for me. Holy his name.
His mercy is from age to age on those who fear him.
He puts forth his arm in strength and scatters the proud-hearted.
He casts the mighty from their thrones and raises the lowly.
He fills the starving with good things, sends the rich away empty.
He protects Israel, his servant, remembering his mercy.
The mercy promised to our fathers, to Abraham and his sons forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to you.
Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator with the Father, you have been pleased to appoint the most blessed Virgin, your mother, to be our mother also, and our mediatrix with you. Mercifully grant that whoever comes to you seeking your favors may rejoice to receive all of them through her. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
We fly to your patronage, O Holy Mother of God. Despise not our prayers and our necessities, but ever deliver us from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Mary Immaculate, Mediatrix of all graces,
pray for us.
St. Michael, St. Gabriel, and St. Raphael,
pray for us.
All you heavenly powers, Mary's Legion of Angels,
pray for us.
St. John the Baptist,
pray for us.
St. Peter and Paul,
pray for us.
Confer, O Lord, on us, who serve beneath the standard of Mary, that fullness of faith in you and trust in her, to which it is given to conquer the world. Grant us a lively faith, animated by charity, which will enable us to perform all of our actions from the motive of pure love of you, and ever to see you and serve you in our neighbor, a faith firm and immovable as a rock, through which we shall rest tranquil and steadfast amid the crosses, toils, and disappointments of life, a courageous faith which will inspire us to undertake and carry out without hesitation great things for your glory and for the salvation of souls, a faith which will be our legion's pillar of fire to lead us forth united, to kindle everywhere the fires of divine love,
to enlighten those who are in darkness and in the shadow of death, to inflame those who are lukewarm, to bring back life to those who are dead in sin, and which will guide our own feet in the way of peace, so that the battle of life over, our legion may reassemble without the loss of anyone, in the kingdom of your love and glory. Amen. May the souls of our departed legionaries and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. We welcome your comments. Please send them via email to legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. I repeat, legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. We would like to acknowledge the following who made this broadcast possible. Father Dillingham, pastor of the St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hockessin, Delaware. To Tony McGinley of the Aramis Communications. To A.J. Laporto, who provided the music. All the members of the Legion of Mary, Wilmington Curia, thank you, and ask you to please listen again next Friday at 3 o'clock. And may God's abundant blessing be upon you all.